And I got to realize that even though I fall, that I got to get back up and get back in line, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What about that? If God does that, and this is encouraging to me, because if God looks at somebody who said that he ain't existing and live like he don't exist, do what they want to do, and he delivered them in their distresses, in the moment that they cry, I cry out to him, I know he'll hear me. Quit wondering if God will hear you and know that he hears you. Quit wondering if God will deliver you and know that he's a deliverer. Quit wondering if God will save you and know that he's a savior. He is a savior. Amen. You see, you don't need to wonder if God will do those things, because all those things, that is exactly who he is. He is a healer. He is a savior. He is a friend. He is all of those things. He's a deliverer. Come on and say amen now.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will. I'm just going to be a moment, spirit willing, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verse 31. Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. And when you get there and you're ready, say amen. Amen, because I want you to read beginning now. Amen, amen. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and help me preach this few moments and say, neighbor, the Lord is worth waiting on. Amen. Turn to your other neighbor, because I know you're stuck right there. Turn it up. Say, neighbor, the Lord is worth waiting on. Now do me one more favor. Say, self, the Lord is worth waiting on. Now if you believe it, come on, give him praise in this house. Amen. This familiar verse of scripture is loaded with principles, laden with practical points to ponder and to practice for the believer. And one of the things that I want us to know today is at the end of this chapter, Isaiah is trying to encourage historically Israel and them in their captivity and their minds being caught up in the situation of their captivity, not thinking out of the box, not thinking out of the situation, forgetting that God still sits high and he looks low. All power is still in his hand. He wants to encourage them and the believer today to know that no matter what you go through, it has to first go through God. I want you to also understand that he's making them clear that the only way pragmatically that you can truly wait on the Lord is if you know who the Lord is. See, the reason why so many believers have difficulties in this day and time and in the struggles that we face waiting on the Lord is because they really don't know who God is. Isaiah says in the 28th verse, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint," verse 29, "and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." And then to those young folk who think they got it going on, he said, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men," those who are muscle flexed and testosterone strong, all of those who think they're all of that, "shall utterly fall." What is he saying? All those who depend on everything and everybody but him will be disappointed. Because everything and everybody other than God will sooner or later let you down. Even yourself will let you down. He says, "But they," who is the they? I'm glad you asked. The they that he's speaking of are the people of faith, the people who believe God's word, the people who believe God's will, and the people who believe God's way. Those are the they that he's speaking about. And so when he says, but they, what about them? What does the rest of the verse say? "But they that wait." Now let's pause here for just a moment, because one of the things that I want you to recognize is when he says, "but they that wait," some folk get excited because they may think that means indolence. That think that means inactivity. That they think that means doing nothing. That they think that means sitting down and just waiting till the Lord show up. They think that means just waiting till God open up a door. They think that means just doing nothing till the Lord shows up. That's not what wait mean here. It literally means to hope or to trust in the Lord. It does not mean to wait with inactivity. On the contrary, it literally means do all that you can do that he's assigned you to do. And then when you've done all that you can do, know that when your part has ended, his part is just beginning. In other words, when you've done all to stand, then stand. Listen, but you have also done what is required of you, because you can't do, help a holding head here, what you can't do. And you can't go where you can't get to. And so what you can do and where you can go to is those places that you are able to accomplish in the strength that God has already given to you. In other words, you've got to, God's given you an assignment. God's given you a dream. God's given you a hope. God's given you something that's larger than you, a ministry that's greater than you, but you don't see the resources. You don't see the help. You don't see the funds. You don't see all the things you think you need to get started. You say, well, when the Lord gives me all of those things, I'm going to get started. No, what you need to know is there are a lot of things that you can do before the resources come. Anybody ever heard about a game plan or a business plan? You can't go to the bank and say, listen, I want to start this business. I'm going to need $1 million. Banker say, well, where's your business plan? Well, that's it. I plan to make $1 million. No, the banker says, well, how do you plan to make $1 million? Well, I'm going to make $1 million because I got this great idea and I want to sell it, you know, and I'm going to do this, that. He says, listen, you know how you want to make $1 million. But if I'm going to loan you the money to get started, I need to know on paper what your game plan is. And if I can see how you can make $1 million or more on the paper, then 9 out of 10 times, I will be, all things being equal, I will be inspired to loan you the money. Well, see, what you don't recognize with God is God has already given us the ability to do what we can do. The things we can't do belongs to Him. So when we wait, we are waiting, working. We are waiting, formulating. We are working, gathering and gaining and doing all that we can do without the other resources that we're waiting on. And when the other resources come, then we will be able to enact the plan. We will be able to execute the plan. We'll be able to engage the plan, but we've already got the plan. Somebody has already said many times before, if you plan, if you fail to plan, you will, you know what I'm saying. And so the whole point is, without a plan, you're going to fail. You might not plan to fail, but you're going to, because there are unforeseeable things you haven't even thought about that can wipe you out and take out. So there are real 3 points that I really want us to look at in this text. The first one is the fact that the Lord is worth waiting on. His word has already described, if verse 28 don't make it clear that He is worth waiting on, because He is the only one from everlasting to everlasting. He is the only one who is Yahweh, the Lord. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Psalm 24:1 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In other words, if God is not on your side, then it doesn't matter who is, because without Him, you will fail. Jesus made it clear in His word that without Him, you can do nothing. So it's important to recognize, if you have the Lord, then no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter how much you have believed God for the promises and they have not shown up, God wants you to know He is faithful. He's not a man that He should lie. It's on the way, but get this, you're not quite ready for it yet. He said, wait a minute, preacher, I am ready for it. You don't know how long I've been waiting. That might be the problem. You might have been waiting without working. You might have been waiting without doing. You may have been waiting without preparing yourself. You remember Jesus talks about the 10 virgins? 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. They were all virgins. What made them wise and what made them foolish? They were all waiting on the bridegroom. They were all with great expectation and preparation, but some got ready, looking for him to come at the expected time. Those were the five foolish virgins, because they thought surely he's going to come between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So they were ready for him in the day. But the wise women got themselves together and prepared themselves, and then they thought about it. What if he don't come between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m.? They said, well, if we have to go with him, we're going to need our lamps, and we're going to have to make sure that we've got enough oil for our lamps to shine till the morning time. So five of them went, and they trimmed their lamps, meaning they brought the oil level to the top. They trimmed the wick of their lamp. They got themselves together. They cleaned their globe. They put it back on there, and they said, now, we've done everything we need to do. Whenever he comes, we're going to be ready. And so he didn't come at 6 p.m., they started getting ready for bed, and all of them were excited. And then around midnight, the groomsmen come, and the shout is made, and they jump up, and they realize that they've got to light their lanterns and follow him. But the five foolish women, who did everything but what they were supposed to do, didn't have enough oil to make the journey. And guess what they asked the five wise women? Give us some of your oil so we can have enough. They said, no, go get your own oil. And by the time they did that and got back, guess what? They missed the bridegroom. Well, now, my brothers and sisters, this is a perfect indication of those who are wise enough to do everything that they're supposed to do while waiting, and others not doing all that they're supposed to do while waiting, thinking that when he comes, everything is going to be perfect for them. Here's what you need to know. If you don't do your part now, when he comes, he's not taking you back with him. The question is, when he comes, will you be ready? He is worth waiting on. He is worth waiting on. You're waiting on him, the Lord, the one who has done everything. Listen, and secondly, his promises are worth waiting for. His promises are worth waiting for. Now listen at this, because when you wait on him, the first thing that he does is he renews your strength. So what does this say to me? It says to me, it takes strength to wait on the Lord. Weak folk and cowardly folk don't use strength to wait on the Lord. They run, they hide. They try to get alliances with others to protect them. But the strong, listen, use everything they have, preparing themselves, waiting on the Lord. On him. He's the answer. He's the way maker. He's the truth. He's the light. He's the breakthrough. He's everything you need. You're waiting on him. And so they trust in him. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. And see, God knows when you trust him, it requires strength. Because sometimes you got to wait alone. And you got another lot of folk, weak folk around you who try to tell you, man, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You know, man, that costs too much to wait like this. You don't know what'll happen by waiting. And I can't wait with you. I wait as long as I can go. I've done all that's it. They leave you. But you've got to have the strength and the faith and the trust and the hope that God is not going to leave you by yourself. He's made a promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, saith the Lord, not saith man. That's why some of you all are so messed up right now. Folk lied to you and told you, I'm going to be with you always. If you need me, you can count on me. We ace boon coons. We stick through thick and thin. Things get thick, they thin out. Where you? I was watching you, bro. I was looking out for you. Yeah. Well, I like to see you watching me. I don't want to see you not seeing you watching for me. How you going to be what you're supposed to be and I can't even see you there? The only one I trust like that is God. Because I don't need to see him to know he's there. His word has declared that he is here, that he is there, that he is everywhere. Now, he may not be in everything. Some things God can be there and not participate in. And if it's not righteous, and if it's not holy, and if it's not good, he's not going to be in it. But the moment it is and we invite him in, he will show us that he is a willing participant. That's why you've got to be right. That's why you've got to trust him. That's why you got to know when you believe in God, trust in God, hope in God, do what you can, and then wait on God. The first thing he does is he renews your strength. And that's what blows folk away. Because they think you weren't going to make it. They think you would have given up and been done away with. They counted you out. Let me help somebody here. Do you know how many times your pastor has been counted out? I know some of y'all don't want to talk because some of y'all counted me out. But if it had to do with the world and some of those so-called Christians thinking that just because I was down at one time I was out, they never read the scripture that Paul talks about. Yes, I was knocked down, but I was not knocked out. And if they had any kind of Christian sight and any fortitude, they would have been praying for me. But many of them were P-R-E-Y-ing on me while I was P-R-A-Y-ing on them. And I got news, like Job, God turned the captivity around. And that's why I got to tell you, you don't need to hate on folk who hate on you. You pray for them. Do good to them. You love them. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. I wish I could tell you the people that said I wouldn't make it who aren't here today. And I want to give you another helpful hint. If the Lord called me home before this day is over, I'm stronger now than I've ever been in his spirit. Yes, every now and then it gets rough, but you wait on him. Every now and then the devil knocks you down, but it says a good man to be knocked down 7 times. But I got news for you. Even on that 7th time, he's getting right back up again. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Wait on the Lord. Tell somebody he's worth waiting on. Now listen at this. After he gives you strength, I need you to know this. The strength is not for the promises individually that follows. The strength, the renewed strength, is for all of them. First thing is, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, of course, there are 60 different species of eagles, and every species is good. The smallest species is about 27 inches to about 36 inches. The other is about 32, all the way up to about 49 inches. We're talking about the height of them. But the largest eagle is the sea eagle. And the sea eagle, listen, has wings from 72 inches to 96 inches, or from 6 feet to 8 feet long. Listen, eagles have the largest eyes of any bird species. Their eyes take up almost 50% of their head. They're positioned 30 degrees from the center of their head so that they can get a more full scope of things. Eagles can see with a astounding ability. A man can see three colors at his base. Eagles can see five colors at their base. Eagles can see even UV rays. Because man's eyes and eagle's eyes weigh about the same, but eagles can see farther, they can see clearer, and they can see better than man. Man has 200,000 cones at the back of his eye in the retina. And that, you know, permits him to see pretty good. But an eagle has 1 million cones. And are y'all going to hear me here? An eagle can spot a prey 2 miles away. He has sharp, keen vision. An eagle is powerful. His little legs are stronger than the muscular legs of a human man. He can pick up animals many times his weight and fly them away to his nest, or use his talons and rip the skin and the flesh from his prey while in flight. He can scoop down from 10 miles up and spot a salmon that he wants and go down and do a quick fish, scoop down, pick him up in his talon and say, "You're dinner to go, I'm taking you to my nest." He has an uncanny ability to fly higher than any bird known to man, and then he can stretch his wings and just soar on the air waves, the heat waves. He is able to do more than any other bird. And God says, "I'm going to renew your strength like the eagle's wings. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." I was giving you a few more characteristics, but the word just talks about the wings. And the reason for the wings, and most especially, is for the height and the flight that the wings of eagles, that can take them higher than any other bird. But let me tell you something else about the eagle. The eagle is one of the longest living birds. And when they get old, there is a stage called the molting stage. And that means when the feathers get old, they can't fly as fast and as high. So the eagles inadvertently know when some of the feathers are time to go, when they are time to be released.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website, at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell